This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which as always is kindly sponsored by Shortland Horn, Coventry's leading estate agents. My name's Tom Ward. I'm back in the hot seat this evening after a couple of weeks off, and yeah, delighted to be joined by two very extremely knowledgeable blokes in the form of Matt and Dino. How are you doing, chaps?
Good, mate. How you doing?
I'm not sure how knowledgeable we are, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But I'll take that.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Yeah. Well, I know you've got some interesting stuff to bring us on the upcoming fixtures, so we'll definitely test your knowledge later on.
Nice to see you anyway, Tom. Where you been? You've been missing the last few weeks.
Been busy, mate. You know, some days aren't always the easiest day to do a podcast, but...
See, I thought you'd moved on to another podcast, to be honest. I hear there's one actually looking for new members, so...
Yeah. I heard you were going to do an episode explaining why I'd left, Dino.
Well, I was actually just going to release a whole episode just tearing into you. But then again, yeah. I thought I'm not that much of an arsehole, so decided against it.
Well, I thought I had to come back because, you know, I was getting laid into a little bit last week and out of hand.
I've seen you with Tim Fisher yesterday and I'm having second thoughts now to where someone release it.
I didn't have a scrap with him anyway.
No, that's good. There was a comment on the picture, I think it was Simon Miller, said about swapping your grey tracksuit for corporate boxes. That quite tickled me. maybe it was Timmy Boy who paid the bail money.
I can't imagine that would have happened, to be fair.
Yeah, anyway, chaps, it's obviously good news. Obviously a win on the road yesterday, finally, it feels like, as we've been talking about the sort of away form, really, haven't we, every week. But yeah, obviously Sky Blues defeated Hull 1-0 away. Matt, it wasn't the most emphatic victory, but a win nonetheless.
Yeah, it's fair comment. Not the most emphatic, but I'll be honest, I really couldn't care less. It's just at this point of the season, you know, we're at that stage now. We know away kind of has been our issue. We've struggled on the road. Home form has been fantastic. So anything at the moment on the road in terms of a win is fantastic. We've had some great performances away and we've maybe not got the results to match what we've kind of done from a performance perspective. So if we can have a bit of the reverse, you know, we've gone to Barnsley, should have won that game. QPR, we were probably the better team for large spells. Similar for Blackburn, you know, we've had those situations where we've gone, played good football, been the better team and maybe been frustrated by the results. So if we can have a week whereby maybe the performance isn't there, but we take the 3 points, then I'm going to take it every week, to be honest with you, at the minute.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I think, Dino, it felt a little bit like it was one of those, we just kind of need to win by whatever means, really. Just get the points and get away, really. Just to sort of get that, you know, that monkey off our back a little bit with the away form.
I just want to confirm we did win yesterday, didn't we? Because the way people have been going on is if, like, we lost 4-0, and, you know, we're doomed, we're going to get relegated, etc. You know, it wasn't a vintage performance. Matt said it there. But you can't complain about winning away from home in the Championship. You know, a clean sheet as well. And especially with the form we've got away from home. You know, we, like you said, getting that monkey off the back is so important. And early on as well. I know we beat Blackpool early on in the season, but, you know, you're riding the crest of a wave at the early parts of the season. Can't really take that into account, I don't think. You know, Hull are a poor team. We spoke about it last week. And I suppose the disappointing thing really from the win is that we didn't capitalise enough on how awful they actually were. That should have been way more comfortable than it was, given the talent we have at our disposal. And that was on the pitch. And I was getting increasingly frustrated at how sloppy we were at times. And that's the sort of the only negative I have. But, you know, we've come away with 3 points. We're still in the playoffs. Things are looking great.
Yeah, exactly. No, I saw a bit of it on Twitter, people being quite negative, and I suppose just people wanted us to go and batter them, didn't they? Really. And
how many times has that happened in this league, though?
I know. Yeah.
You know, especially for us. Yeah. Especially for us, we're not at that point at this moment in time with the away form to just get the win, build a bit of confidence, and move from there. It feels a little bit arrogant. You know, we're second season in it. For me, it takes a little bit away from. The fact of, you know, we're still only second season in this division. So why are we feeling like we just can go to any team in this division and blow them away 4 or 5? Now, even though, look, I completely agree, Hull aren't a great side. We're much better than them. And on our day, we could go there and blow them away. But also, you know, let's just take the win. I mean, we know we can perform better. So it's not as if we should massively worry about kind of the form from the fact that we've won this game. Just take the win and then let's go back to the fortress.
Yeah, I think Ross made a really good point on the last pod as well around the season when we won League One. It was a lot of 1-0s, wasn't it? And we just, you know, scraped those 1-0s and obviously got promoted doing that. So
and teams are working each other out now. We're 15 games into the season, you know, basically a third of the way through. And we're sitting in fourth place, you know, behind 3 teams bankrolled by Premier League parachute payments. You know, it's not a honeymoon phase anymore. Yeah. You know, we're doing an incredible job. You know, 4 years ago, I was looking at where we were 4 years ago. We were bang in the middle of losing at home to Forest Green and Mansfield. Mm. You know, so let's see where we are now. Enjoy it. You know, in a month's time, it might look different. Of course, it might. You know, got a tough period coming up in a few weeks' time. That will sort of, you know, give a good gauge to where we actually might end up in this season. But we've shown we can mix up with various styles in this division. Let's give the boys some encouragement and let's see where it takes us.
Yeah, we've got to enjoy it, haven't we, while we're there in the top six. And God knows what's going to happen if we do drop out of the top six. It'll be meltdown on Twitter, won't it? But
that'll be Robin's Out Brigade back out, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
The flags will be out. It'll be like the protests of the United. The green,
tennis balls on the pitch.
Tennis balls. I don't do that at Sheffield United, though. Oh, jeez.
And obviously the new kit had its first outing yesterday, Matt. Maybe that brought us a bit of luck and, you know, helped us turn around that away form.
Yeah, and we'll probably never see it again now. It's one of those things. I mean, it looked fantastic, I have to say. That's one thing I think Twitter seemed to be fairly agreed on. It absolutely looked fantastic. The red finished off as nice and sharp look. So, maybe the performance wasn't quite there, but they looked fantastic. And this will be it now. We probably won't see it for another kind of 5-6 weeks or 5-6 months, I should say. So probably a good omen, but you know, we might not get the full benefit of it.
Yeah, red numbers as well, which is nice, isn't it? You don't see that very often anymore.
So nice. It looks sharp and different. Just, yeah.
Is that just for Remembrance Sunday, though?
I don't know, Dean.
Is that a thing now? Red numbers a thing?
I think it might be a thing, yeah. It's a little bit retro, isn't it? It goes with the kit quite nicely.
So I just put 2 and 2 together with a poppy and made, you know, obviously 27, but...
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? We'll
go with it. I mean, it sounds good.
I like it. To be honest, I like the red. I think the red really works. One thing with the shirt's great. I love the shirt and I always love the white shirt they release, which is annoying, like you say, Matt, because they only tend to play in it once and always end up being a sucker for buying it. I would have likened to see the opposite way around, maybe black with the
white,
like
a blackout kit. Yeah. Because we've got so many white kits now, haven't we?
Yeah. We've had white, you know, we had the
Rico third, kit,
the City Culture, kit. The return kit, the two tone kits and the great and the two tone's brilliant. the heritage and stuff, and looks really good, like with the sort of the braces effect. But I would have liked to see the reverse. I've seen really nice blackout kits over the last two years.
What about brown, Dean? What about a brown?
Well, you know, who knows? You know, next year, you know, might be the Premier League, might throw out the brown kit for that.
I really want to
see, I want to see a purple and gold one, personally.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many retro sort of colours and combinations, isn't there, that we've got? And I think Hummel are sort of milking them, aren't they? Which is great, really.
If you go for some of the classics, the thing is, you've got to get it right, haven't you? You know, the brown kit, so kind of synonymous with Coventry. You've got to, it would be fantastic if we did it, but you've got to do it right, haven't you? It just looks silly then. Similar with the purple kit as well. We had quite a random one in the 90s, didn't we? But it would be good if you do it the right way.
Yeah, I think if you did a brown kit, it would either go down as the nicest kit we've ever had or the worst we've ever had. There's probably not much in between.
Quite easily, yeah.
that concept guy on Twitter, he does some really, really smart designs. I'm really surprised actually Hummel hasn't snapped him
over.
Yeah,
he's brilliant, isn't he?
Well, I'm close to sending them a kind of a little message with his Twitter handle or something, because I think we all knew we were getting kind of the away kit was going to be the colours that we ended up seeing, but the one he did of that in particular was absolutely beautiful. It was probably one of the best kits I've seen in a long time, and even the way he'd marketed it, with he had a really good picture of Matt Godden, I think, and he looked fantastic. So you're just almost at the point where I think maybe just drop him a little message, just kind of say, look, keep an eye on what he's doing, because yes, some of the kits he's done are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, 100%. Let's talk about the game in a bit more detail. First of all, the lineup. Obviously, Robins went with the same team as Derby. Any surprises for you, Dino?
Not particularly, because we know sort of the way Robins works. But if you listen back to last week's podcast, we were omming and ahhing whether Jamie Allen comes in, Michael Rose comes in. Rose came into the squad, obviously, at the expense of, I think it was Jody Jones yesterday. I'm not surprised, but I would have liked to see a little bit more energy in there, away from home, especially on that massive pitch. I mean, you look at the way that game panned out in that first 20 minutes, you think if you maybe take away Ben Sheaf, for instance, from that line and put Jamie Allen in there, how much more space would have been created with the energy that he provides too? So we were talking about being emphatic and, you know, having chances. We could have created more if Jamie Allen was in there, for me, but I can see why Robins has done it, and to be fair to him, it worked.
Yeah. Was the pitch bigger, Dean? Because obviously I was looking at it. I know they play rugby on that pitch, don't they? And they didn't have like a, you know how at the Rico you can see like the try bit behind the goal. They didn't have that.
It definitely looked bigger. It definitely looked it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just the camera angle. I don't know. You were there, Tom. So
yeah, I don't know. It didn't seem like that big, but who knows?
Maybe they were just massive holes. That hole is so shit. They just left so much space.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah, exactly. Which we'll talk about a bit more. Obviously, our resident stat man isn't here tonight, so I will cover off the stats from the game. We had 51.4% possession. We had 11 shots versus their 13. 3 shots on target versus their 4. 335 passes completed versus their 329, 10 interceptions versus their 17, 14 tackles versus 14, and we won 13 aerial duels versus their 21. So I think the stats probably kind of align really with how the game felt, Matt, in that we weren't probably at our best for long periods of the game.
Yes, sometimes you just feel, with all due respect to all, sometimes you just watch a game and you feel like you kind of almost get dragged down a little bit by the opposition. You know, we've looked vibrant is one of the words I'd say this season. We've looked kind of, we've come out, we've set the pace, we've kind of gone for teams and looked really good in doing so. And there's been a good tempo in terms of our play. But sometimes you just play those teams that they're not the best, which, as I say, with all respect to Hull, they're not really at this level. And you kind of get dragged down a little bit and it kind of takes away a little bit of the cohesion from the game. It makes it a little bit scrappy. So we didn't look too sharp. I just think kind of another thing maybe was scoring quite early. Obviously, it's fantastic to do that in terms of kind of the result. But maybe from a game perspective, in terms of the performance as well, it kind of changes the feel a little bit when you get a goal that early. And, you know, look, we haven't won a lot. We've won one game on the road so far this season. So I think the team would have been quite conscious of that and quite conscious of the fact that they didn't want to let another possibility of an away win slip. So get that goal early, it probably changes the tempo of the game. You know, that's not to say we're not going to kind of shut up against Colin. And I don't think we did. We tried to kind of play out the 1-0 win, but I think it maybe changes the mentality a little bit. You're in front and I just think maybe you kind of, it changes the way you play a little bit from there. But in the main, I just think it's one of those games, isn't it? Where Hull, scrappy side, not the best football. You just get dragged down a little bit by the opposition sometimes.
Yeah, of course. Let's talk about those early moments of the game and obviously the goal. Came out of the blocks really well, Dino. And an unbelievable, well, a brilliant cross from Mattson and a great header from Godden. I've watched it back a few times today and I'm just trying to work out how he's got so low down to head the ball there.
Yeah, it's class like Spider-Man, isn't he? You know,
yeah.
Just getting down on all.
Someone on Twitter said, is that the lowest like header we've ever scored? I was like, well, it's got to be, really, hasn't it?
I wouldn't like to play limbo with him. Sure. But yeah, I mean, those early stages, we were so in the ascendancy. You could just feel it coming. And like you said, the ball in. Let's talk about Gyökeres first of all. Again, that sort of gut-busting run with the ball at his feet. It's so hard to stop. It was a brilliant tackle. And Mattson, first time, that's one of the first times this season he's put a first-time ball across into the box. And look what's happened. We've got a perfect goal out of it. Cross was great, but Godden, unbelievable. We talked about Walker's movement against Blackburn the other week. This was just like that. Peeling off that last defender and then spinning round him. He didn't know where he was, to be honest.
Yeah, he was just all on his own, wasn't he?
Yeah, that defender was sort of jogging out because he thought the ball was cleared. There was no danger, but obviously it fell to Mattson. And then, like you say, how he's already on the floor when he makes the header. And it's so difficult for the keeper to react to that too, because he probably doesn't expect Godden to get such power on the header and be on target at the same time. And that's why the keeper sort of makes a fumble. But it's all on Matty Godden here. You know, there's nothing about the keeper making a mistake for me. It's Godden's just unbelievable finishing ability. And it's just a brilliant, brilliant goal. One of the goals of the season for me so far.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
Technique-wise, brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I think for the technique, it's probably my favourite goal that we've scored this season. Just unbelievable technique from Godden. And a great bit of shithousery from the, you know, the celebration. He loved doing the lawnmower in front of the home fans, didn't he?
Yeah, but he didn't get the triple threat out, did he? The plane came out, then the knee, we missed out on the knee slide this week.
Yeah, he can't make his mind up.
No, so normally he goes aeroplane, knee slide, lawnmower. And he missed out the knee side, which was I was disappointed in. So I'm going to knock him 1 point off his match score for that.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I do love watching it back though, like on the highlights, and just see like the players, like they're like looking into the home crowd. It's just like brilliant. I love that.
So I thought that was the Coven, because he sort of like looked up to the sky, and I thought a Coven in the sky here. I don't like you know when you go to Newcastle away and you're like right in the gods.
Mm.
That's why I thought I've never been there. Oh no, I've been to KC. Was it the KC when Dennis Wise scored?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So I went there once. I was.
We were at the other end, Dino.
Yeah. So I obviously realised afterwards that it was down the other end. And then after, when you realise that, you're thinking he's just absolutely give it some to the six to the six away home fans that are in that end.
Yeah.
Which was great to see. And then I don't know if you see there was a post put out today. I think it was an interview with Robbins maybe or Jake Carr-Salter, and there's a one of the pitch guys doing the lawnmowing, and so I said, oh, it's great to see Matty Godden getting involved in the background, which kind of tickled me.
That's class. But yeah, did you see Jake Clark-Salter's comments today as well, saying that the Coff fans are the best fans he's ever played for? And obviously he's played for Birmingham and Sutherland.
I'd literally just about to say that's two fingers to both those teams. You know, we pretty much hate both of them, don't we? With equal passion, shall we say. So, great to see.
Definitely puts him in the good books of the Coff fans by saying stuff like that.
But he played really well yesterday as well, didn't he, Jake Carr-Salter? Yeah. You know, ball at his feet, those marauding runs from the back. We've kind of missed that from our play the last 2 weeks. And that's great to see, because there were so many gaps appearing. He could just, you know, utilise those really well. But I thought he had a really good game. I thought his comments after the game were really good too. It's nice to hear him being in, you know, settled for one.
I was just going to think you get the impression he's a little bit of a arm around the shoulder kind of player. He just kind of likes to feel wanted at a club. You know, somebody can't be that regularly around a team like Chelsea, or kind of go through the youth ranks there, and obviously through the international ranks of England to such an extent without being a good footballer. And you just think sometimes it just needs something to kind of unlock it. And maybe it is the case of he likes being at a club where, you know, you have a situation where he feels kind of wanted. He feels like he is a standout player in the starting 11. He's going to get a regular run out, even if he kind of doesn't have one great game or something. He isn't just going to be consigned to the bench for a long time. Mm-hmm. He's kind of been given a bit of a chance to grow into the team, because he maybe did have not a bad start, but he had kind of the odd kind of bad game or bad half even. And you think maybe in the past, he's probably quite used to being at Chelsea. And if that happens, then you've got no chance. And you know, maybe it's happened to him at Birmingham as well in particular. But here he's kind of maybe beginning a bit more of a run, and he's seen, right, okay, I can grow into my role here. And, I assume he's just going to grow into it from there, because I think there has to be quality there when you're talking about somebody who's been at that level for such a period of time. They've obviously seen enough in him to
he's
think...
20, he's 24 still being around Chelsea, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
There must be something about him.
I do forget that he's a loan player, actually, sometimes. He just, like you say, he just feel quite settled now. Mm. But like you say, it's an interesting one. I mean, I'd imagine we've got a fairly decent chance of getting him on a permanent, you'd imagine, from Chelsea in the summer. I know that's like kind of their policy, isn't it? They sort of loan players out to sort of build their value, and then they sell a lot of players on around like the early millions.
He's at that age, isn't he? You kind of think, as Dino says, we kind of, if he's been there for this length of time, there's got to be something there. But also, what is he going to do really to get into that team, kind of crack into the first team? So you think from his perspective, if it does carry on where he feels loved by the fans and he gets a really good run of games and his performances are kind of where they have been in the last couple of games, and you think, yeah, I would agree. I think there's got to be a realistic chance, especially if we're going up to the Premier League. You think he's going to he's almost a certainty to want to stick around.
Yeah,
that might
be
big talk. Starting to talk about Premier League, but.
And just going back to the game, we should have been 2-0 up, really. Obviously, Matty Godden went through on goal, Matt, and it was a brilliant save from their keeper, really. But could Matty have done better, or do you think he did everything right there and it was just a really good save?
He probably could have done better, to be honest with you. I mean, it is a good save, to be fair. And it's funny enough, I was kind of watching some highlights of some of his goals kind of earlier on Saturday, just as you do when you're bored, you kind of go down a bit of a rabbit hole. And I'd watched some of the clips of, I think it was 5-2 against Wigan in the under-23s where he got the hat-trick. And just watching that, you're thinking, this guy, he is such a natural finisher. I mean, some of the goals in that game, kind of, I think one of them was quite similar to the header against Hull, but it was a difficult header as well. And he kind of had to kind of move his body to get to it. And you just think he is a natural finisher. So you see him kind of go through like you are just expecting to see the ball nestled in the back of the net. I think it kind of comes down to his first touch. He didn't really get it out of his feet far enough. He kind of didn't, you know, kind of stumble over or anything. But you're thinking, because he's just got so much room to run into, he could have maybe knocked that, you know, even 5 yards in front of him and just ran onto it. But it doesn't quite kind of come off his foot right with that first touch. And then I think it just gives that defender enough time to put enough pressure on that he just maybe feels a little bit more pressure. So, yeah, I think if he's kind of completely clean in it, you see him kind of lift it a bit more and put it over the keeper and give him no chance. Because I think that's potentially a possibility there. It's not as if you kind of like say it's just a chance of getting it on target. He's got the chance to kind of put it somewhere where the keeper can't get it. So that's why it's disappointing. I think it just comes down to that first touch. But like I say, I mean, as we've said, the first goal is such an impressive finish. You kind of maybe give him a pass on that one.
Yeah,
I think the issue is with the pass from O'Hare.
Mm.
Yeah. He's either going to put it behind the defender, curl it back round to Godden, or fizz it into his path. Godden's got to sort of has to check his run and then bring the ball in the control.
Checking run onto it a bit more, yeah.
Yeah, and then at that point, it's very hard to sort of drag the ball 5 yards forward and then deal with that defender who's coming onto you as well. So I think the issue is with the pass. I think O'Hare's probably in two minds what to do with the pass. But saying that, I know I'm knocking the pass. Godden still has a really, really good opportunity. Mm. And he could go either side of the keeper, and the keeper makes a really, really good save. But for me, the issue is with the pass.
Mm. Yeah, he just tried to sort of slot it, which it looks great when they go in, but gives the keeper a bit more of a chance, doesn't it? Jokeres also had a chance not long after that, sort of cutting in as he does so well. And there's another decent save from Ingram, wasn't it, Dino?
I think this is a really, really good save, to be honest. I think this is absolutely fizzing top bins for me. But again, Big Vic, ball at his feet, marauding. They don't know what to do.
Yeah, they're like, just terrified, aren't they?
Because you make the wrong decision. Your timing's off of that challenge. You're yellow carded because of the pace he's running at. You know, that the referee makes a decision straight away just because of how bad it looks if you try to take him out of that pace. So he gets through three players here as well. Just brilliant marauding runs from Vic. It's sort of, but we said last week he's been out of form a little bit, and it's very, very difficult to maintain that form he's been on, of course. I think at times yesterday we started to see the old Vic that we've seen over the first few games of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Robin's comments were very, very good towards him as well, weren't they, from yesterday? Yeah. I think I was thinking about that as well, and I suppose there's a little bit of like less pressure on him to score now. I mean, at the start of the season, it was just him, wasn't it, really? Godden wasn't fully back yet, I don't think. And now Godden's chipping in with goals. Walker's been chipping in with goals. Slightly just takes the pressure off Vic a little bit. And he doesn't need to score every week. We can still get a good result. So I don't know if that's something.
Yeah, potentially. I think it's all down to mindset as well, Tom, because this is a guy who's just been called up for Sweden. He's got a couple of games under his belt. There's a lot going on in his life at the moment. He's just joined a new team for £1 million. The pressure's already there. He's scoring goals. He's getting all these plaudits, all this attention. That's a lot to take on.
Yeah, yeah.
All at once. The kick he got the other week on his ankle came up like, I don't know what, it was like a bloom, wasn't it? These things all sort of accumulate into the guy's form, and it might take a few more weeks for him to get back into that kind of form. He just needs to settle down a bit. But yesterday in glimpses, he showed, you know, what he's really capable of. And it's nice to see, because you got a big week coming up, you know, two home games. He's going to be expected to carry a lot of burden this week, I feel, at home, you know, with a raucous home crowd behind him. So it's nice to see him sort of get back into that sort of rhythm again.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And Matt, given the fact we've thrown quite a few points away recently from winning positions, especially away from home, what do you think Robbins would have been saying at halftime?
I mean, personally, I feel it would have remained quite balanced, to be honest with you. I get the point in terms of we have had those moments away from home where we've kind of gone in at halftime ahead or certainly been in the game, and it hasn't gone the right way in the second half. Certainly we've had kind of a bit of a drop off in second half performances, but I just think still you look at Robbins, you think it's still going to be quite a balanced approach to kind of right, one game at a time. You know, today is hard. We're not kind of going to overly focus on what's happened in the past. We're going to focus on the game plan that we put in place to kind of come here and beat Hull. And obviously, hopefully, you would imagine there's kind of lessons that we would have learned coming into the game from previous away games in terms of kind of staying switched on and kind of not, you know, I think we've had a lot of kind of runs of 5-10 minute bursts of play where we've conceded 1-2 goals and pretty much been out of games, or we've kind of taken the impetus out for us. So yeah, I generally think there's kind of lessons to be learned there, and I'm sure that's been worked on through the week. But in terms of half-time in this one, you know, let's face it, at the end of the day, we're half-time 1-0 on the road. I don't think it's kind of a situation where you want to overly kind of read the riot act or anything like that, and just kind of keep going where you are. We're winning the game with a superior team, especially at halftime. They didn't really look like they were going to score. I know they did kind of maybe have a little bit more pressure in the second half, so that was a little bit of a worry. But I just think, yeah, kind of it would have, just Robbins in general, balanced guy. I think when he knows when there is a situation you really need to kind of come out and react, and I don't think 1-0 away from home is kind of that situation. So
yeah,
I think quite balanced.
Yeah, fair enough.
I would love to hear about Robbins' riot act. That would be, maybe it could be one of those like BBC bedtime stories for kids. Maybe you can release it at Christmas.
Be one of those calm, but you kind of really get the message type situations. Like you can just feel he would. It's almost like, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed from your parents type situation. Mm. You know that you're in trouble, but he's not, you know, probably not screaming his head off. He's just getting his point across in the right way.
That's one for the media guys now. There's a bit of content. Mark Robbins reads a Christmas story. I want to see it.
On Christmas Day.
Yeah, so we can
on
all.
Twitter. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Twas the night before Christmas. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear Mark Robbins' rendition.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to email the club Dino and suggest it.
You could be his little helper.
You've got the in with Fisher, haven't you? So
yeah, you're our in now. Yeah,
maybe Fisher could do it.
Oh no, for God's sake! See, he looks like Santa. You know, some of his beards he's grown over the years.
Yeah.
Some of the awful pictures we've seen of him, including that one yesterday.
Yeah,
I'm actually surprised. You know that's gone down okay. Do people not realise it's a bit of a joke?
Yeah, I don't think people care too much, do they? Really, he's not really working at the club at the moment. He's just sort of advising on the side. So,
did you ask him anything actually?
No, we just had a general chit chat, to be honest, about things. Nothing.
How's the family? How's the kids?
Yeah, exactly.
Plan for Christmas.
Yeah, nothing too interesting, to be honest. Nothing that I didn't know already. But
where are you going on your holidays next year, Tom?
he did say that Joyce Parler's been to a few games this season and she's absolutely loving the football and she's really into it.
Oh, we're winning.
Cares a lot about the club, which is good to hear. But yeah, like you say, we're winning, so that obviously helps as well. Don't know whether she was at Forest Green in League 2, but there you go.
I doubt it.
I doubt she was at Forest in the Championship, to be honest.
Anyway, getting back to the game, lads. It wasn't the best sort of second halves. We didn't create many chances at all. Obviously, as we've talked about, Hull are a poor side. Dino, do you feel a slightly better team possibly could have punished us yesterday?
Yeah, I do. I think so. I think we were lacking intensity. I think we were very sloppy in possession. And those two things normally equal defeat in the Championship, if I'm honest. And yeah, the simple answer for me would be no doubt about it. We would have lost that game yesterday, for sure. Yeah. You have to be on it 95% of the time in the Championship. There's always games with laws, even with the top team. Look at the Fulham game a couple of weeks ago. I know they were leading, but they weren't value for their lead, if you understand what I mean. They didn't particularly play well to get that 1-0 lead. So you've still got to be at it, if that makes sense, because you never know what's going to happen. And you see, I mean, look at, what was it, Stoke yesterday, 3-0 up against Cardiff. Switched off for 5 minutes, 3-3.
Mm.
Those things happen. You know, Cardiff are a poor team and Stoke are supposedly one of the best teams in this division and they've let them back in it. So you've got to be on it all the time and the concentration levels have got to be always up there. And yes, we got away with one yesterday because we didn't play against a particularly great side, but that's sort of something that's crept in over the last few weeks, a little bit of the lack of concentration, a bit complacent at times.
Yeah.
So we sort of need to get that in check, I think, over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, Hamer came off with a knock late on. Hopefully nothing too serious, Dino.
It didn't sound it. Robin said it was just a kick on the calf. I know we saw him limping on the.
Always makes me nervous when Hamer's limping.
Yeah, and to be fair, he didn't have the greatest of games yesterday, and which was disappointing because that type of pitch and the space that was created from the lack of press from Hull and their setup, that was sort of made for Hamer to sort of be come to the forefront and dictate play, but he was very sloppy in possession, like most of the team were yesterday, to be honest. I don't really want to single him out for having a bad game. But Robin said after the game, it was just a kick on the calf, he'll be okay for Tuesday, which is good to see, because against Swansea, we're going to need that energy from him in midfield.
Yeah, it's definitely good news. Obviously, Mark Robbins did make a few changes in the second half, Matt. Did he get the changes right, in your opinion?
Yeah, pretty much, I'd say. I know there's been kind of a fair bit of talk around his subs over the last few games and fairly so. And I think he's been kind of open and honest and said that maybe some of them haven't been the best. Or I remember he said he kind of, I think maybe it was Preston that he made changes too late. So personally, I think the changes came at the right time. You know, obviously Hamer's was kind of an enforced one, so that's fair enough. But sometimes you've got to kind of make what might be the unpopular decisions to kind of see a win through. And Obviously, we kind of, midway through the second half, took off Godden, brought on Allen to solidify the midfield a bit more. And I felt at the time it probably was the right decision because we were starting to... If I'm honest, I didn't really feel like they... It felt like they had massively had the quality to create a load of chances. But still, just that kind of option to solidify the midfield a little bit was the right one in my mind. And if there was one, obviously Walker coming on. Walker, for me, he's somebody who kind of, his impact seems to be when he starts games. But you're kind of thinking at that point, we have got the leads and, you know, it's getting late on. I think it was with about 15 minutes to go. So you're kind of thinking maybe he can just run their defence a bit, keep the ball down that end of the pitch and kind of keep them busy. So maybe it wasn't the kind of substitute made to kind of get goals. And then the third one's obviously Hamer, which is more of an enforced one. And to be honest, kind of any point we're bringing this skip on, I'm more than happy. And I think that situation, he's exactly the right man to see the game out. So sometimes you've got to do what maybe not the most popular thing with the fans, because they're kind of, and I think especially with the fact that we're playing Hull, people are thinking we should be beating these 2 or 3-0 or whatever it is. It seems to be the case after the game. But Robbins has got the pressure. It's easy for us to say as fans, we kind of can make the changes that if they weren't to go right, there's no pressure on us. There's no kind of fallback on us. He's got to do what's going to get us the wins at the end of the day. So yeah, I thought they were fine, to be honest with you.
Yeah, fair enough. Obviously, we held on in the end, got the win, got the 3 points, and that result keeps us in fourth in the table. Matt, it feels like we feel right at home in fourth now. We've been there for a few weeks, haven't we?
Yes, lovely little comfortable position for us, ain't? Kind of, you got, I mean, let's face it, looking at the teams above us, I think Dino mentioned early on, you got those kind of parachute payments and the money they've got and kind of the finances behind them and some of the players there. Realistically, for me, the league kind of almost begins from fourth because those three top teams, you know, they do look a little bit of a class apart, if I'm honest with you. So that's that. I mean, for me, we're top of the table almost because it's just not
that's
really...
That's a new song. Much... We're top of the rest. We're top of the rest.
Absolutely. Fourth is absolutely perfect for me. Yeah, more than happy. And also kind of that win just it hasn't moved us up the table, but it's just bumped that gap back up.
That's the thing, isn't it? I think I've started looking at the table in a slightly different way, just kind of really just looking at how far ahead of within the top six we are.
Yeah.
So like I said, I think just staying in the top six for absolutely as long as we can. And if you're still in there at Christmas time, you know, you've got a really good chance of sustaining it, and you can just keep sort of ticking over. You don't need to actually win every single game, but as long as you keep ticking over, you know, you might get a point away from home that keeps you in there. That's kind of how I'm seeing it at the moment.
You start looking at some of those other teams that are kind of in that area, the likes of Huddersfield and who was saying the other day, kind of one of the Blackpool.
Yeah, they've all been mad, haven't they?
You're kind of looking at it, you're thinking, well, actually, you know, you look at us in fourth and you think people are kind of talking to us about being the surprise team, but you're kind of saying, well, Huddersfield really struggled last season, Blackpool a promoted team. It does really feel like past kind of those top three, there are maybe opportunities and there aren't any standout teams. So I think you're right, it starts coming together. You start looking at these other teams who are kind of in and around the area, you think they're no better than us. And you start getting to Christmas, you think, hold on here, if we're still in that position, then we've got a chance. So I think, as Dino mentioned, it is a bit of a lot is going to be kind of shown over the next 6 weeks, I think, because there are some tricky games coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. And another brilliant following from the Sky Blue Army, Dino. And by all accounts, came across very loud on iFollow.
Yeah, they were very, very loud. There wasn't many Hull there, was there, Tom?
No.
I think there was a few people saying it wasn't the greatest atmosphere in the away end. What was your thoughts on that?
Where I stood, it was pretty good, to be honest. It was pretty loud. I mean, the drum wasn't there, so it kind of helped. Someone was a bit difficult to get everyone like singing at the same time, especially when everyone's had like beers since like 8 a.m. or whatever. But no, it was quite loud where I was stood. A little bit spread out. Maybe that was something to do with it. But no, I thought it was a really good following again. I think to get over 2,000, I mean, it's a bloody long way away, Hull.
Yeah.
Like, it's really far away. Especially on the train, because you have to kind of go up and then like you have to go like round the river kind of thing.
And across, yeah.
So it's a long way away. So I think to take, what was it, a couple of thousand there, I think it's a very, very good following. And that seems to be our kind of standard, like minimum Saturday following now, which is very, very good support.
We can't fault the support this year, both home and away. It's been superb. Brilliant. I mean, we've had some terrible away performances and the boys have been backed by you know, a legion of fans are away from home. So yeah, we can't fault the support, and that's one thing that, you know, we need to keep going with, because you look at the COVID affected season last year, no fans, players have commented. You look at Godden and O'Hare talking on the little video that the club released the other day. As long as you only had one earphone in, you could hear it, by the way. They were saying it was so hard to gear themselves up for a game with no fans in the stadium.
Yeah.
Whereas it's totally different this year, and they rely on the fans to gear them up for games. And, you know, the 12th man is obviously a huge, huge saying in football, but I think for us, in the position we're in, I think it's gained us valuable points. You look at the likes of the Reading game, the Forest game at the start of the season.
Yeah.
I think we sort of sucked the ball into the net, if I'm being perfectly honest, and we need to continue with that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think definitely at home, I think kicking towards that kind of corner where all that noise is, it's got to help as a player, hasn't it? It just gives you that extra like 10, 20%, whatever it is you need.
That's why we didn't beat Derby, because we attacked the opposite end for the second half.
Yeah, I think they probably won the coin toss. Smart move.
They did select that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a really good point. Yeah, I'll grab a man of the match off you both. Matt, who was your man of the match yesterday?
I might just lean towards Clark Salter, to be honest with you. I think it's one of those games, everybody was like a 7.5. Everybody was okay. Nobody was standout particular, but a few solid performances in the defence, and obviously if you keep a clean sheet, you're always doing decent. So yeah, like Clark Salter is growing into the team. I'll just nudge it to him.
Zeno?
Yeah, for like Matt said, fairly decent performances across the board. I thought Sheaf and Mattson did both did well, but Clark's also ahead of everyone for me, just about.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Another big game at the CBS on Tuesday as the Sky Blues host Swansea. This is a game which, is thinking about it, Dino, it's one that's winnable, of course, but Swansea have had some pretty good results lately, so it's definitely not going to be an easy game, this one, is it?
No, I'm really looking forward to this, because Swansea are a team that I admire in this division, especially Russell Martin now being in charge there. He plays football the right way. I'll be watching this one in Mallorca on iFollow with a Swansea fan who I'm working with.
Nice.
He's a huge Swansea fan. So
Pina Colada in one hand.
Yeah, and I might have to take some tips from you to knock some heads around at the end. So maybe if you can ship your grey tracksuit out to me, that'd be great. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. I think it'll be a really, really, really good game. Like you say, Swansea have had some really great results lately. A bit of change of philosophy for that team as well since Russell Martin came in there, replacing Steve Cooper in the summer. The squad, I think, kind of struggled to adapt early. That's why they were kind of low in the division to begin with. It's a completely new way of playing for this team, and they had a few injuries as well to key players, but they're on a revival now. 4 wins in their last 7. Beat Peterborough 3-0 at the weekend too. They're only 7 points behind the Sky Blues now, so and they sit in 13th. It's absolutely mad. I don't know if you've seen the division. It's like 19th to 5th is like 7 points or something like that.
Yeah, we're closer to 19th than we are to top in 4th.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, madness. Stupid league.
Yeah, it's bonkers. And, you know, you look at the results, everyone could beat everybody. Of course they can. But Swansea, I think they're a really good team. I think they'll be pushing towards the playoffs towards the end of the season. Russell Martin teams tend to try and dominate possession, and that shows kind of in the league stats. Swansea with a league lead in 62% across their 15 fixtures this season, which is quite high for a team who, you know, didn't play particularly well at the start of the season. In terms of what they'll try and do, they'll match us in terms of formation. Two teams very similar ilk and build, and this game's going to be just who can press better, I feel. I wouldn't be surprised if we sort of cancel each other out. But one thing I have noticed with Swansea, I've watched them over the last couple of weeks, their wing backs play super high up the pitch, way higher than Dabo and Mattson play.
Really interesting. So
that's something we need to be aware of, especially sort of defensively.
I think their left wing back was one of the players of the season last year. Was it Swansea? Have I got that right?
Potentially. I can't remember
who it was now, but I know they had really good wing backs last season. don't know if they've got the same ones, but yeah, I was pretty impressed with them last year.
I think it was, I can't remember who, I think he was the right back. Is it Laird?
Oh, that was it. Yeah.
He's the right back. He put a great ball into the box yesterday for the first goal. He looks a really, really sharp player. So we're going to have to be wary of that. But that's something we can look at to, you know, on the counter-attack. You think sort of, can we capitalise that with the energy that we're going to have in the front three? You look at that QPR game, that first 35 minutes time where we're putting diagonal balls in, we were getting in every single time because their wing-backs were so high up the pitch. We capitalised.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, something we're going to look forward to doing on Tuesday night. And one thing we have talked about a lot over the last few weeks is our away form and how poor we've been. But Swansea have also really, really struggled away from home this season. Just one win from 7 attempts on the road.
Interesting.
They're even lower than us on the away form table. So, you know, that goes to show anything.
Yeah, that's a positive for us, I suppose. Obviously, Jamie Patterson. Is he a Cov fan, or he's definitely from Cov, isn't he?
He's definitely from Cov, not sure he's a fan.
Well, that's probably the worst possible combination then, isn't it? Because he'll be really fired up then. He scored against Cardiff, didn't he? He scored a really good goal against Cardiff the other week.
Yeah, he's sort of coming into the forefront now in this Swansea team. You know, we were led to believe he was close to joining us in the summer. So perhaps that's one that got away. Yeah. We're not sure. 5 goals, 4 assists. And he's a guy who seems to always up his game against Coventry. We have to be wary of him for sure. But they've got talent across the board, Tom, even on the bench as well. You know, Liam Walsh, have we?
Yeah, I was going to mention Liam Walsh. Has he been playing for them? Will he be involved on Tuesday?
Well, I might have to put a bit of a missing person's report for him, to be honest. No, he made a sub appearance last week versus Birmingham. I think it was like 20 minutes or so. He actually received quite good plaudits for that little cameo, but he wasn't on the bench yesterday.
It's interesting, isn't it? Like, there's quite a few lone players. Like, you've got Walsh, Matty James, Ostergaard. Ostergaard wasn't even in the Stoke squad yesterday.
No.
And you think these players who, well, we'd have, you know, bitten your hand off to have them back for a second season just aren't getting games, are they?
So I don't know who they are. I don't know who those people are you're talking of. Long gone from my memory. Exactly, yeah, they're dead to us. It's one of those things. We know the talent Liam Walsh possesses. We know that firsthand. Will he play away from home? I don't think so. I don't know where
probably
it was yesterday.
Games to involve him in it, wouldn't it? As he had such a big impact at us, you know, to sort of, I don't know, probably might be not the right game to get him involved.
But does that G him up as well to perform against his old team?
Who knows?
It's one of those, you know, it
can go either way.
Two sides of the coin. But they've got talent across the pitch. And one person I really want to mention is Joel Perreault. He's a £1 million man signed from PSV in the summer. Kind of the battle of the £1 million men with him and Gyökeres. And he's adapted to life so far in the Championship pretty well. 8 goals, 3 assists to his name as well. He's not particularly tall like Vic, but he's a real handful, very technically astute as well. And if you look at all his goals this season, they're very technical. So the back three will have to be on the ball with him.
Interesting stuff. Matt, how would you expect us to approach this game?
I mean, I agree with Dino. They're a really good team. And I think they're obviously coming into their own a lot more kind of the last few weeks, maybe as Russell Martin kind of settles in there a bit. It's obviously a new manager coming in, but they've got quality throughout. So you think they're going to be one of those teams that should be up there. And obviously the last few weeks, they've really stepped it up a bit more. So we have to respect them. They're definitely a team that kind of deserves that respect, but also teams really need to respect us at the Fortress, because obviously our record is pretty much... Well, it's as close to perfect as you're going to get without being 100% perfect. So for me, you know, we just come out and play the way that we have been playing. I think Dino's right. You know, two teams that are probably going to press and it's whoever does that the best. But yeah, I just wouldn't want to see us kind of doing too much to change our games to accommodate other teams on the basis of the fact of how well we've done at the Fortress at the CBS, because why would we? You know, we kind of win every game bar one. That game we probably should have won as well. So kind of same as usual, really.
Yeah. I'll grab some predictions, chaps. I'll go with you first, Dino.
In celebration of Halloween, I'm going to predict a bit of a thriller at the CBS. 3-2 to the Sky Blues.
3-2.
3-2, yeah. There have been lots of goals in Swansea games this year, so and we're scoring at home, so yeah, 3-2.
Nice. And Matt, I'm going to give you the honour of picking the Tweet League prediction, which we is really important that you get this right, because we're not doing very well.
Oh, the pressure's on. I mean, it's going to sound boring after that kind of 3-2 prediction, but 1-1, and I don't think I'd be overly disappointed by that. I do think they're a good team, and just to keep kind of the momentum going, I'd be happy with a 1-1. I think tight game, as we say, not a lot of mistakes going on. Maybe kind of they grab the lead before half time, we get something in the second half with the crowd pulling us through. So yeah, bit of a boring one, but 1-1.
That's all right. Well, 1-1 for the Tweet League.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Sky Blues have got another home game on Saturday as they host Bristol City. This one definitely feels winnable, doesn't it, Matt? Although I know it's actually been Bristol's home form that's been a problem for them, and they have actually been a bit better away from home.
Yeah, the home form doesn't really get too much worse. They actually won their first game in 17 at home on Saturday, which is, well, if you listen to their media and a lot of people around the club, it feels like they feel like that's going to change their season for them. But it's a first home win in 17 games dating back to January. And it's a 2-1 win against Barnsley, which, again, with the greatest respect to Barnsley and how they're doing this season, it doesn't feel like a season-defining win, let's put it that way. But it is still a first home win for them. But away from home, they've been, as you say, they've been a lot better, 4 wins. So you're kind of thinking at this stage of the season, any team that have 4 wins in the bag away from home should be expecting to push those playoff places, but not really the case for them at the moment, sitting in 15th spot. But only 5 points off, as we talked about with Swansea. This league is a bit of a crazy one at the minute, and they're just 5 points off fifth. So, you know, a little burst of form could really turn things around for them. But yeah, the away form has been much better for them, like I say, with those 4 wins. Most impressive probably from that is a 2-1 away win at QPR. We know obviously how difficult they can be. So look, it's a squad with talent. They didn't really do too much in terms of kind of incomings in the summer, but what they did do, they feels like they brought in players who should count, kind of maybe the standout players are Matty James and Andy King coming in. You've obviously got Chris Martin there as well, and a lot of experience going throughout the team. You've obviously got Andreas Weimann, who's a reliable striker at this level for sure, and the likes of Danny Simpson. So some experience there, and maybe not too surprising given the fact that they've got Nigel Pearson as manager, somebody you think is going to have a kind of a nod towards some of those reliable players and players of experience. So there's definitely quality in there, but certainly a winnable game, as you say, for me.
Yeah, fair. And in terms of how we'll set up, Dean, do you think we'll make some changes to this one? I know we've got a lot of games in quick succession. Obviously, we did seem quite tired in that second half against Derby. Is that something that'll be on Mark Robinson's mind, or do you think we'll just kind of go with the same sort of lineup as we do Tuesday?
I don't think it'll change too much from the sort of setup, but personnel will definitely change, I feel. You've got to utilise the squad, and that's what we've got. We've got a squad. You look at the bench yesterday, it was really, really strong, and that was missing the likes of Jody Jones from it. So yeah, you got to utilise them. I don't, like I said, I don't think we'll sort of change the approach at all. And I don't think we should, because we're going up against, in my opinion, a very, very poor Bristol side. They're sort of lost in the way they sort of, you know, approach games. Matty James and Andy King in the middle of the park, they're not really sort of being that link from the defence to the attack. It's kind of like being second balls they're trying to win. The likes of Ryman and Scott are sort of, they're niggling around trying to pick up scraps, basically. So it might be a bit of a scrappy game, but we've got enough quality, especially at home, to beat these kinds of teams, if I'm perfectly honest. One player I am really looking forward to seeing is my namesake, Rob Atkinson, central defender. He was signed from Oxford. I'm looking to see how he plays against, if Vic plays, or Godden, just to see how he can sort of deal with two different, very different types of championship striker. I've got my eye on Rob Atkinson to have a decent career, especially at championship level. So I'm interested to see how he copes with that.
Another, so did you say he was from Oxford?
Yeah, he signed from Oxford.
Yeah, they've produced some good players, don't they, Oxford?
They do.
Rob Dickey from Oxford as well.
Yep. They've Oxford are actually playing really well at the moment as well. So,
yeah, they always seem to be a good side, Oxford. They don't always quite make it, do they, in the playoffs? But yeah, interesting.
It's a solid centre back partnership. Actually, you've got Thomas Callis next to him as well, and that's, you know, so he was £5-10 million player a few years ago. So it is a solid centre half partnership. It's one that it will be a good battle to see. Obviously, whoever starts up front for us as well.
Yeah. And I will grab some predictions. I'll go with you this time, Matt, first.
Yeah, 2-1. I think it's not going to be... I think probably sometimes people look at league tables and just think, well, we've got this great home record and we're fourth and they're way down there in the league, so it should be a comfortable win. But I do think we will win. I think we'll probably go into the game because they have got a few older players, if I'm honest. So, yeah, I think maybe close early on, but we'll squeak it through in the end and go for a 2-1.
Nice. And Dino, for the Tweet League, I know you're flying in the Tweet League, so...
Well, I wouldn't say flying. I know I'm first, but I've been like joint first for like four weeks now.
You need to break away, don't you? You need to build a pace gap at the top, mate.
And you've always got to be, you know, want to be comfortable, you know, come Christmas. I need to have some kind of gap there.
Are you giving us different predictions and then slyly doing your own ones that we don't know about? Is that how you're doing it?
No, you've only given me the opportunity to give one for the Tweet League over the past four episodes. So the pressure is on. I'm going to go for a 2-0 victory for the Sky Blues. I think one will bring two in this kind of game for
nice.
Me.
Well, yeah, we'd certainly be very happy with that on Saturday. That's all we've got time for this evening, chaps. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks also to our partner, Shortland Horn, for sponsoring us. And listeners, do make sure you're following them across their different social channels. And as always, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation, just make sure you use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.